Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great show lined up for you. An outstanding guest, by the way. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's right. Sorry. Okay, yes, it's me. I want to talk to you today about actually a very interesting subject. They're all interesting, I know, but I get this question a lot, and it's about Roth IRAs. I'm happy to get into this a little bit for you today, and here's where I'm going to come from. It is a great idea when you are planning your financial future, or even if you're moving into retirement, wherever you are in the process, it's a great idea to embrace this idea of a diversification. Now, you hear a lot about diversification when there's conversations or whatever it may be about, well, you know, you should have your money spread out into different types of assets. You should have cash, you should have stocks, you should have bonds. Okay, and maybe other things. You know, there's a lot of other things you can invest in, but that's a lot of what we hear. That's the asset allocation. You don't want to put all your money into one area. Then the next layer is, well, if I'm going to have money invested in stocks, then I shouldn't put all my money in one stock individually, or even in one type of stock, say energy stocks. I'm just throwing that out as an example. When different parts of the market are affected, they may not be as affected the same way. So that's the idea, is by diversifying, you don't put all your eggs in one basket and you spread the money out. There's more and more layers to this. You know, you can keep going down further and further. I want my stocks to be in large, medium, and small cap stocks. I want foreign and domestic. I want it overseas, but I don't want it all in Europe. I want some in Australia. I want some in New Zealand. I want some in Latin America. You can get into this and go way down deep in your submersible asset allocation diversification submarine. Okay, and that's, of course, what advisors do all the time. But there's other ways to diversify. And a whole other area of diversification is how you allocate your money for tax purposes. What do you mean, David? Well, what I mean is diversifying how the money is taxed. Is it now? Is it later? Is it never? If we put money into a regular brokerage account, for example, I'm saving for college for my kids. I put money into a regular brokerage account. Now, I could do a 529. I could do a prepaid plan. But for my own personal situation, a regular plain vanilla brokerage account at Fidelity, okay, is what I do. And I put that money in. And it is, until I sell it, it's tax deferred. There's no taxes on the gains until I sell. Now, if I get paid dividends on the stocks, or if the mutual funds issue a gain, then I may have some taxes there. But that's a regular brokerage account. I've also got a 401k at work, and I'm putting money away every paycheck. That is money that goes in pre-tax. And that money goes in. I don't pay tax on the money. And any gains, which of course, hopefully there will be, because I'm doing a good job of my asset allocation, diversification, all those things I talked about in a minute ago, then all those gains are deferred. Now, when it comes time to draw the money out, those two different accounts I mentioned, the brokerage account for college savings, if I don't need to use all that for college, then I can keep that growing for retirement. But ultimately, I will cash it in and have some taxes, depending on what the tax rates are at the time. And I'll have some gains that may be capital gains rate, whatever it may be. I don't know what the future is going to bring for the tax code. But my brokerage account and my 401k, which will be rolled into an IRA ultimately down the road when I do transition and make that shift myself into retirement, those two accounts have diversification from a tax standpoint. They're not taxed the same, so I've got some options there. So let's just say that I didn't need to use all of that money that I'm putting away for college for the kids. And I'm able to add to it for my own savings and for my own retirement, which is the plan. And I arrive at retirement with a 401k and an investment account that is a regular brokerage account. Those two are different from a tax standpoint. So what that gives me, and this is really the point of tax diversification, is it gives me a couple different levers I can pull or different places I can draw my money from for income that I can look at what taxes are at that point. And that's really the whole point of tax diversification, is we know what taxes are today. We know how taxes work. We know what different types of accounts, how they're taxed. But we don't know what things will be maybe 5, 10, 20 years down the road. Well, to augment that tax diversification, I might do a few other things. Or you might do a few other things besides just a regular brokerage account or that 401k, 403b, 457 through work. Okay. I might also do a Roth IRA. Ah, well, why would I do that? Well, I'm not going to get the tax deduction like I would by making a contribution to a traditional IRA or putting it into my 401k and getting a tax break there. With a Roth IRA, when you make the contribution, you don't get the tax break. It's actually like putting your money into a brokerage account. But once it's in there, and if you follow the rules, then it works really well in this respect. You don't pay taxes on any of the gains that you accumulate over time. So let's just say that I was able to do that, and I put money away for just, say, 20 years, and I put that money away into that Roth IRA while I'm also doing the other accounts. Now I arrive at retirement with three different types of accounts that are diversified tax-wise. When I draw money out of my Roth IRA, let's just say that I've got half the money in the account is from my original contribution and half is our earnings that I've enjoyed over the 20-year period. When I start drawing money out, none of it's taxable. That's not true for my 401k that might be rolled into an IRA. All of it's going to be taxed. No matter what I take out of my IRA, it's going to be taxed. Not true at the Roth IRA. Everything I take out of there is tax-free. And then over on the brokerage account, it depends on capital gains and all that jazz. So some of it will be taxed, some of it won't. So I've got three different ways of getting tax options. I've got another lever now I can pull. That's a third option. I can throw in one more. How about something that's tax deferred that I could do? Some sort of annuity that is a fixed annuity, a variable annuity, something like that, that I put my money in. While it's inside of the annuity, there are no taxes on any gains. And then when I take the money out, I pay tax on the earnings as they come out. That's last in, first out. Interest comes out first. And then after I've drawn out all of the earnings, paid tax on them, then I get to my original money and I don't pay tax on that. So now I've got four levers. Hey, pretty cool, huh? So I've got four different types of money from a tax standpoint. I love that. I know that sounds a little nerdy, but listen, it's really cool to have options. Sit down at the restaurant, where's my back door? Okay? Haven't ever had to run out of a restaurant in my entire life. But you know what? Every restaurant I go into, I know where the back door is. It's the same and smart to do the same thing because we don't know what taxes are going to be. We know what they are now. We don't know what they're going to be. So that's why this idea of having a Roth IRA for some people, not everyone, but for some people, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the big catch is that to build up a significant Roth IRA, you have to realize and accept the fact that you're not going to get a deduction on the contributions. So if you're able to put $2,000 away into a Roth IRA for 20 years, that's 20 times 2 is $40,000 you will have put into that Roth IRA. Any earnings on that, again, let's just say you've got another $40,000 in earnings. Well, now you've got $80,000. That whole $80,000, 40 of it's money you put in, 40 is earnings, that whole 80 will come out tax-free. That's pretty cool. So you've got options here, and you want to take advantage of them. Now, the cost or the trade-off is that, number one, you don't get the deduction to put it in. You've also got to follow certain rules, okay? They're not really that difficult. You got to leave it in there for at least 5 years. And you don't want to take it out before you're 59 and a half because, again, this is a retirement account. It's an individual retirement account. A Roth IRA is still an IRA. It's just a specific special type. So if you follow the rules, it's a pretty good deal. But the trick is, or the trade-off is, you don't get the deduction. Okay, I accept that. Well, what about an existing IRA? You know, when Roth IRAs were introduced a few years back, all the rage when they were introduced, and Roth comes from the name of one of the authors of the bill that brought this legislation to be voted on and passed. Mr. Roth and his colleagues said, okay, well, what about for people who already have an existing IRA? How about them? Can they do something to turn that IRA into a Roth IRA? And the answer was yes. And what they allowed you to do at the time was to make the Roth conversion and then spread, because in converting, it was going from being an IRA to a Roth IRA. Well, that IRA money had never been taxed, right? never paid tax on if it came from making contributions over the years, or it came from having rolled it into an IRA from a 401k, 403b, 457, one of these what we call qualified retirement plans from work. So when that rolled in, it had never been taxed. The question was, well, how can we let people move this IRA into the Roth IRA, which is really cool. It's got nice benefits, but this money's never been taxed. So what they did when they first introduced the Roth is they allowed you to spread the taxation. Let's say it was a $50,000 IRA and you were going to convert it to a Roth. They would let you spread that out. I think it was over like 5 years, which is not as bad. You're paying tax on $10,000 every year. That's a lot cheaper and easier to stomach than tax on $50,000, which of course would likely significantly raise the tax bracket you would be exposing that $50,000 to when you prepare your taxes. Okay, so that was really cool. Now, here's the challenge today. Today, there is no spread it out over a five. There is no Ron Popeil five easy payments over 5 years. Remember that? Set it, forget it. The commercial is really cool. Anyway, I'm a fan of that kind of TV. The problem today is that you have to pay the tax up front. Oh, wow. So if you're going to convert an IRA that's $50,000 and you're going to have to put that on top of all of your other income, you might pay 20, 25, 30 or more percent tax on that $50,000. A Roth IRA sounds really good to a lot of people, and I have a lot of people ask me about it. I say, David, I heard that Roth IRA is a great idea. And I say, it's wonderful, but realize that make this conversion, you're going to pay tax. Now, can you do it over a few years yourself? Can you say, well, I tell you what I want to do. I'm going to take my IRA or my 401k or whatever it is, and I want to convert it each year, a portion of it. I have a threshold for paying that is no more than 25% in taxes. Okay. Well, you could potentially convert part of your IRA over a period of time into a Roth IRA. Now, what do you need to be thinking about from a tax standpoint? Well, if you're going to do that, then what you're really saying is that there's a good chance you may not need to use the money, the Roth money, yourself, and you might want to leave it as an inheritance, and I'll get that in just a second. Or you might be thinking tax rates will be a lot higher in the future. If you're in that latter category, if you're in the second camp and you say, you know, today's tax rates are low compared to what they're going to be, we have endless big government. You know, if you really feel strongly about that and you think that the rates are going to go up, then a Roth conversion might be for you. So there's a lot of considerations. I need to grab a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some more specifics about the Roth and how it can be a very powerful financial tool if it fits your situation. Stay right there.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking about Roth IRAs. You can tell I'm excited about them. I think they're really cool, but they got to fit your situation. And I've had plenty of people say, David, what do you think about Roth IRA? And I say, it's not for you. And here's why. But in the right situation, it could be really cool. Let me bring you to another point. I beat up the earnings tax-free thing earlier. Here's another one that's really big. No minimum distribution. No minimum required distribution. I can tell you that a lot of people hate those required minimum distributions. When you turn 7.5, actually, here's the exact rule. April 1st, the year following the year that you turn 7.5, don't ask me why they did that. This is Congress, right? But they said April 1st of the year following the year you turn 7.5, you must start drawing out your required minimum distribution. It is about 3.5% of your aggregate total value of all qualified monies at the beginning of the year. So if you have a IRA in four or five different places, you've got a 401k, you've quit work, you've got these money. The IRS doesn't really care where it is or how many IRA accounts. All they're going to care is that you take the total value, multiply by the appropriate formula, it's about 3.5%, and take that out during the year, because They want you to receive 1099s from all of those various, or from one if you draw it all from one. It's fungible. They don't care if you draw all of the required distribution from one IRA for a dozen IRAs. As long as you take out the minimum required distribution. If you have $100,000 in total IRA, they don't care where you draw it as long as you take around $3,500, $3,600 that first year. Okay, so you're going to get a 1099. When you get a 1099, that means the IRS got one too. Remember that. You're getting a duplicate. Okay. That's why we have required minimum distributions on IRAs and 401ks, is because they want you to take the money out each year, and each year your percentage goes up so that they can tax it and they can get that revenue. All right. Roth IRA does not have a required minimum distribution. Why? You've already paid the tax. So if you convert your entire IRA, let's say you converted your all of your IRA 401k money from 65 to 70 over a 5-year period, and you're sitting with your Roth IRA, no more IRAs or 401ks at age 70, guess what? You're done. There's no required distribution. You can let that Roth IRA sit there, grow, invest it, do whatever you want with it. You don't have to take anything out. You die. It goes to your spouse if you're married. Your spouse gets it. It's a rollover. He or she doesn't have to draw anything out of it either. It just sits there. Now, let's say the second spouse dies. Now it is left to heirs. And this is the same as with a regular IRA. That IRA or Roth IRA can be rolled over, and it is now called, real clever here, ready? Inherited IRA. Okay, so it's either an inherited IRA or an inherited Roth IRA. If it's an inherited regular IRA, each of the beneficiaries, let's say you got five of them, they each can make this decision. They can roll it over into an inherited IRA and then take all the money out and pay tax on it, or they each can decide to take it and have it be an inherited IRA and then draw it out over their lifetime. There are required minimum distributions that are required for them that start whenever they get it. They don't get to wait until they're 70. So if your IRA beneficiary is 50, he or she would have to start drawing money out of that inherited IRA when they get it. Now, it's a very small percentage, but the rule, the wheels hit the pavement right away, and you got to start drawing it out. The same is true for an inherited Roth IRA. Here's the big, big, big difference. When the beneficiary receives that inherited Roth IRA, they can roll it over into that inherited account. They can then take very little out. They can be stingy with those distributions and only take the amount that the IRS says they have to take. But as they receive those payments, guess what? Tax-free. Income tax-free. Now, given that it's tax-free, could the beneficiary say, well, you know, I don't want to wait. It's tax-free. Well, I'll just take it all. They could. Now, generally, a beneficiary is not going to do that with an inherited regular IRA. Why? Because they're going to have to pay tax on the whole thing. So if they're already working, and let's say they've got $50,000 of income, and then their inherited IRA is $100,000, and they say, I'll just take it all and pay tax on it and do what I want with it instead of rolling it over into this inherited IRA thing, well, then they're going to have $100,000 additional income on top of their existing income, in my example of $50,000. So that $100,000 is going to be exposed to some big tax brackets. If they stick to the plan, roll it over, and then draw out just a little bit, 1%, 2%, something small like that, and all of that money continues to grow, potentially, of course, and build but not be taxed, and can then be part of their retirement when they retire. The same can be done with the Roth, but there's never any tax paid. So that's another key advantage. Now, I'm talking income taxes. Let's talk about inheritance tax. Inheritance tax, estate tax, death tax, whatever you want to call it, that's a separate part of the tax code. Very often people get a little confused here. We have gift and estate, money you transfer to somebody during your lifetime or at your death, and then you have a separate tax system called income tax. And of course, we have local, state, all those other taxes as well. But don't, let's not get those two confused. All the things I've just been talking about is income tax. Estate tax is completely separate and different, and it's assessed, it's an additional tax separate apart from income taxes for people with a lot of money, okay? Under current tax law, at the time we were recording this program, it is for a single person, It's about $5.4 million, roughly. That is the threshold. If you have less than that and you die and you leave that money to whomever you leave it, there's no estate tax. That's the general rule. If you are alive and you give away a similar amount of money, there's no estate tax, or there's no gift tax either. If you're married, you can double up. And if you are a surviving spouse, you get now $10 million. So you can have husband and wife each have $5 million. Husband dies, leaves his $5 million to the wife. She dies with $10 million, leaves it to her one child. There's no tax. There's no estate tax. And the estate tax is a calculation that is applied separate and completely apart from whether or not it's income taxable. In other words, the estate tax is going to be there. If you've got a big enough estate, let's get really crazy, and let's say you got a $20 million estate, okay? I just brought my target audience down to a very small percentage, but for you listening to this program, if you have a $20 million estate, you're going to pay tax on anything over $10 million if you are a surviving spouse. But it doesn't matter whether it's cash, stocks, bonds, real estate, IRAs, whatever. Estate taxes apply to all of that. So just keep in mind, for most people listening to this program, the taxes that we're mostly concerned about are income taxes. So that's why the Roth IRA, if it makes sense for your situation, can be a real powerful tool because of the benefits of it being not only a way to pass money to the next generation in a very tax advantage way, but also it can be a great tool for you while you're alive. So let me grab another quick break. I want to talk about one of the few ways in the tax code that I'm aware of where you can get tax-free lifetime income, and it involves using a Roth. Stay right there.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back talking about Roth IRAs, a little bit of income tax, a little bit of estate tax. Just one more point of clarification on the estate tax. There are some, I've been talking in general terms about federal rules. There are some states in our wonderful union that have their own separate state inheritance or state estate tax. So general comments on this program. All right, let's turn our attention to what I set up before the break, which is really interesting. And I love this where it fits. So let's say that somebody has a Roth IRA. However they got there, they made contributions over a period of time. They took advantage of the income averaging or spreading out of the income tax on a Roth conversion when the Roth was first introduced. Or they have decided, you know what, income taxes are never going to be less. And they've converted their regular IRA into a Roth. However you got there, here you are with a Roth IRA. All right, this is really slick. I like this. Listen to this. One of the things that people really like, okay, is keeping their taxes low and enjoying that income over their lifetime. Now, if you have a regular IRA, the only way to really do that is to draw the IRA out over your lifetime and try to keep yourself in a lower bracket. It's just deliberately keeping your income lower and avoiding a big withdrawal from your IRA, kind of smoothing out the taxation. If you are fortunate enough to have accumulated and have a big fat Roth IRA, then you can do something really slick. You can draw that out over your lifetime, even though you're not required to take distributions, and you can have that income from the Roth IRA, and that will help you tax-wise in a lot of other ways that are beyond the scope of today's conversation about this, but it could help you with your Medicare Part B. It could help you with Social Security taxation. There's a lot of ancillary or collateral benefit that you could get by drawing and using your Roth IRA money instead of other accounts that you may pay tax on. Let's say you've got an account that you haven't paid tax on. You avoid drawing that. You keep your taxes lower. Or you avoid selling that stock that's had a big fat gain, and maybe you never have to liquidate that stock. And when you die, the stock gets stepped up in basis so that your heirs, at the time of your death, they can liquidate it, and there is no capital gains tax due. You escape taxation. Pretty cool. The exit's not a pretty one, but that's how you do it. Okay. Let me share another idea that I think is really neat. How about if you combine a Roth with one of the financial products out there that can give you a lifetime of income that's guaranteed? You can use a fixed annuity. So you take the fixed annuity, you take the Roth IRA, and you put it into a fixed annuity. Now, just a refresher here. When you have an IRA or Roth IRA, regardless of what you put the money into or what you invest it in, it retains the character of the original category or account. So if I take an IRA, a regular straight-up IRA, or take a Roth IRA, either one of them, and I buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CD, cash, annuity, whatever it is, guess what? It's still an IRA. It's still a Roth IRA. So let's say we took a Roth IRA and we put the money into a fixed annuity that's going to give you a guarantee of lifetime income, no matter how long you live. You would get those payments, and as you get those payments, they'd be for your lifetime. As you get them, they're tax-free. Tax-free lifetime income. There are very few places in the tax code you can get true guaranteed lifetime income. Okay, well, what happens if you die? You've got this fixed annuity. It's your Roth. You're getting lifetime income. If it's a fixed annuity with a guarantee of income, they have a death benefit or a value to your beneficiary. So let's just say your situation is you're single. You have one child. You take the Roth IRA. You put it into the fixed annuity with a guarantee of lifetime income to you. You flip the switch. A beautiful thing happens. You have this lifetime of income. And then they say, accident happens, something happens, 6 years later, you die. The full value of what's left in the annuity goes to your beneficiary. Well, how about a muni bond, David? I can get tax-free income from that. Sure. Okay. But the rate isn't very high. And the issuer of that muni bond has to be there for it to be guaranteed. So these are all different considerations. There's a lot more we can get into. But these are some of the ways to use a Roth IRA in a way that is a little different. And you can have it be part, as I started the program with, a Roth IRA alongside other types of accounts, regular IRA, 401k, tax-deferred annuity, regular brokerage account. All these different things can be all part of tax diversification. Good stuff. Think about it and be sure to tune in next time. Thanks for being with me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.